listeners, and welcome to another week. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Casey, and this is I Kid You Not. So, how was your week? Let's do like a quick little recap because there's so much to like dive into.
I know, we have a lot to dive into this week. I had a good week. I was at a work conference up by Lake Paltz. It was at Mohonk Mountain House. I'm not the biggest outdoors person, you know, and New Paltz is a lot of that. It's a lot of hiking and nature, and it's beautiful. When I'm thinking about going somewhere for a long weekend, it doesn't usually like pop up on my list for those reasons. But this mountain house is gorgeous. No TVs in the room, so that was fucking awful. I had to watch everything on my laptop this week.
Well, my brother has a lake house, and he doesn't have a TV either. And mm-hmm. I respect it. But I get it. TV people, like, I carry my iPad everywhere because I need to
right
downtime watch. But I respect the game.
People who go there are typically going for that reason, yeah, right? To like unplug and just enjoy nature and where you are, because it is beautiful. So even though it was like a lot of work, the people who scheduled it did a really good job of like scheduling downtime. I feel like with these conferences a lot is that you're just in these sessions, like back to back to back to back. You feel numb. Your eyes are blurry. Yeah. And this, they like did a really good job of scheduling time for us to have like free time and like nice breaks between sessions. That's good. A nice balance. And I tried archery for the first time ever.
Shut up. How much fun have you ever done that? Yeah. I did it in camp. Did you?
I was terrible. Terrible. No aim. No,
Ryan, I'm not going to lie. I kind of expected you to say you were not going to be good at it.
Terrible. A lot of power. Like when I would have to go over and get my arm out, like it was fucking in there. But as far as aim, nowhere near the bullseye. That was really fun.
Yeah, it's fun to do something different, right? Who doesn't love an activity? I would love to do
axe throwing. I've done that.
I want to do that.
That I've done, and I actually wasn't that bad at it. Like, I think it's hard to be a natural at it unless, you know, you grow up doing that. So the first couple tries for everyone we were with were shit because you're like figuring it out and like you're not quite sure.
I feel like, what if it comes back at you? You know what I mean?
Yes, I had that fear also. I was like, is this going to like hit the thing and fly back?
Ricochet back, yeah.
Right. You're far enough away where it's not going to happen. But it is really fun. How was your week? What do you got going on?
Honestly, work was just really busy. We had someone come in from LA to work out of our showroom, and we had so much going on that
we needed the help.
Yeah, the extra manpower really came in handy. And then I found out we're doing inventory in 2 weeks. So they do it differently than everywhere else. So that's just going to be prep and projects. So next week, there's like a whole other list of things. Yeah. So, but it feels good. It feels good to be busy. It feels good to start to have a routine and understand how things work. I'm 2 months in now. So I feel like there's a bit of a groove going and I'm able to start implementing stuff that I feel will help project things forward and seeing results from it in a short period of time. So, and I just love who I'm working with. It feels really good to work with people you actually are laughing at and you're actually working and you're enjoying the job and your mental health is good and everything just seems to be in like a great positive headspace.
I was talking to a friend of mine from my old job. We were talking and she's just going through, you know, those times in your life where like one thing happens and then it seems like everything goes wrong.
Yeah, when it rains, it storms.
So she's having one of those periods in her life. And I said to her, I know that you just think I hate on our old job. But I'm telling you that sometimes the universe shows you these things and gives you this rainstorm because it's forcing the change. Yeah. And I think you need to make the change. You're not happy there. This is a sign. I know that's easier said than done. And, you know, it's fucking hard to go from work and especially a toxic job where you're like being taken advantage of and overworked and then come home and apply for jobs. That's not easy.
Especially when like all avenues are leading to darkness. Like if you if you have some kind of light force, if there's something positive, it can kind of keep you going. But when all the lights are off, it's definitely
it's tough. So I'm like, you gotta nowhere's perfect. There's issues at every job. So I'm happy that you're really happy because that doesn't always happen when you take a risk.
Look, and every company has their stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the everyday stuff has been really good. And it was so sweet today.
And that's huge.
there's one guy and one girl in addition to me. So today, one of the guys was like, oh, I'm just running a little late. I'll be there shortly. And then I'm on the phone and he gives me flowers. And he gives my colleague flowers. I started like watering up and I'm like, here I am on the phone. And I'm like sitting here like melting because it was so sweet. And so when I got off, I'm like, what is this for? And he goes, I'm celebrating you. It's National Women's Day. And the colors in the international is like yellow and orange or like that kind of mix. So he got the yellow roses. It was so sweet. I don't know if I've ever worked in a place that someone was that endearing.
Thoughtful,
you know?
And kind. Yeah.
Yeah. That was very nice.
I am happy to hear that you are enjoying work now.
I feel very clear-headed. And to just kind of enjoying, I'm trying to be yes to everything and just, you know, doing my thing. So we'll see.
All right. Well, we have a busy week on top of just being busy. Yeah. Yes. On top of just being busy at work, we had a busy week of TV.
Our second career of watching
TV. Our second career watching TV. And then even just like all the drama, we haven't had a chance to catch up on. There's a lot of just Bravo drama happening. I think we just got to hit it. I have a friend at work who doesn't watch any reality TV.
Me too.
And then I have a friend at work who watches all, like 90% of it, like me. She's like, I don't even know what you guys are talking about. But she texted us both yesterday out of nowhere and was like, what are your thoughts on Bethany Frankel? And I was like, who's asking?
Fair question.
She's like, for some reason, she started showing up on my TikTok a lot recently and some of her videos are kind of funny and some of them are a little annoying. And I think that's actually a perfect way to describe Bethany. Kind of funny, kind of annoying at the same time. And I won't lie. When Bethany was on Housewives and up until recently, Bethany was probably like my all-time top favorite housewife. Her and like LVP.
Me too.
And now the shit that she's doing is really pissing me off. Where I can see the argument is with the syndication, right? Actors get paid when something goes into syndication. So now that Housewives is on Peacock, like they should get some kind of payment for that. Fine. But this crusade she's on to make it seem like it was such a toxic work environment when it literally made her who she is and gave her the opportunity she has is just pissing me the fuck off.
I also adored her. Thought she was hysterical. She was crass. She was a tyrant. You know what I mean? On so many levels. But she was also like accountability to a lot of these people because they were fucking nuts, you know? So yes. My opinion one hand is like, God bless her. Love her. And I think she's funny. I actually really enjoy majority of her views towards things. So when I watch her on social media, I actually really... I'm digging what she's saying and what she's putting out there. And then there's the other side. I agree with you. She's shooting herself in the foot with the fact that you wouldn't have had all the money you have if you didn't have the platform to show Skinny Girl. You weren't even married. You kind of got thrown into the show and you have worked your way up. You were very close with Andy. So it's just like...
You came back. You left and came back, bitch. Like, let's not forget that.
And then she left again, right? And she has whatever. Right. She has the right to. That's fine. My biggest thing of what she's doing is that she's trying to create a union for Bravo. And on one hand, I get it. But on another hand is you sign up for this show. You are aware of what the show is. You are accountable for your own actions in the show. And you sign off on it.
You're a grown adult.
Don't want to drink, then don't drink. If you don't want to do this, then don't do this. They are filming you, but you are doing it. And if you don't like it and it's being thrown back in your face, then figure yourself out and change it. But this is on you. This is not the show. And so that pisses me off with a few of these people that are coming out of the woodworks.
With all of them. What bothers me about all of them and one, like with this whole union thing, it feels like she's like going after, I'm not using the right word, not manipulating, but getting people on her side who didn't leave in the best ways, who have like a bit of a bad history, vendetta. You know, or have a vendetta. Yes. This whole Leah thing.
It's all bottom feeders. It's all bottom feeding at this point.
And Leah, Brandy, Bethany, all of you want to say that they force you to drink. No, you're grown adults. You make your own decisions. Leah, you are very open about your struggles with sobriety on the show. And I respected that. I don't respect you now saying it's their fault that you drank when you
literally very blatantly said you made the choice. Right. She's a party girl. Like, I think she's just bitter. She's looking for her fame because her clothing line didn't take off. Like, she was trying to make money. You could see that, like, her apartment was not like everybody else. You could see that she was just starting her career while all these women been on for a while. And, you know, she had her moment. She did get a little popular for like 2 years or something. She did take off a little bit, but then she kind of got cut out. And now it just seems like she's being petty.
Did you watch her on Girls Trip?
No, I didn't watch Girls Trip.
Mm-mm. She had a shit season on Girls Trip. And I think that's what this is really about, that she feels like she got a bad edit. But really, it's just that she didn't vibe or connect with anyone.
She's looking for 15 minutes of fame again.
Right. If the work environment there was so fucking toxic, why did you all go back whenever you got exed? Leah, you went on Girls Trip. Bethany, you came back twice. Brandy is fucking chomping at the bit to be a guest or a friend of every fucking season. And she's been on 2 Girls Trips now.
And I'm not going to lie to you. Don't fucking go. I'm not going to lie to you. And I'm probably going to get, you know, reamed for this, but they're not well in the mind. The girls that she's... No. I mean, Nene's one thing.
That she's like taking advantage.
But like Raquel and Rachel, yes. And then Brandy, and you have Leah. Like, these are not well-minded individuals. It almost seems like you're really like exploiting these girls, because in the end of the
exploiting,
day.
Exploiting. That was the word I was looking for earlier. Thank you.
Because at the end of the day, like, they're going on your podcast, but like, are you giving them any money for like all the views you're getting and all of the exposure you're getting? Like, what is it benefiting them? So you're exploiting them as well in a different way. So I just think it's bullshit.
The whole thing she did with Rachel really fucking annoyed me.
Caroline is sound of mind. I think she's a very credible woman. I think she stands by her facts. And I think that if she is going to target something like that, like, some shit really went down.
I believe all the shit she was saying in there that Brandy was doing to her that made her uncomfortable, I 1,000% believe. And
because Brandy's awkward. She does things randomly and she's not aware of it half the time. She pushes the boundary.
I feel like she is one of those people who is so insecure that they try to mask it by being so over the top.
Extra. Yeah, I agree.
Extra. And because she's so insecure, I think that's why she gets so drunk at some of these things, is to like help her like social anxiety. And I think she went too far with Caroline 1,000%. And I think, unfortunately, now with all the lawsuits, we're never going to see that season.
So I get people like Brandy. Like, I get it. I get like she mm-hmm. brings all sorts of packages with her. But this has like been a constant thing with her really going over the top of someone's boundary. Why is she back? Because I heard a few times, like, random interviews on Watch What Happens Live. Oh, if you had a dream cast of who you want to be back, and BravoCon, like, people have mentioned Brandy. And I was shocked by that. Yeah.
That is shocking to me. She brings drama, but I've said this several times. There are plenty of housewives that I haven't loved, but that I would love to see on, like, an all-star cast like this, because I think they're good TV, or why I get why they keep bringing them back, because even though they weren't my favorite, they add to the show.
Right.
Brandy, I never understood it with.
Me neither.
Not once. She's great. Not even like, good TV to me.
I but like, she's playful, she's fun, but then, boom, like, in 2 seconds, it can cross over into physical crazy.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about Beverly Hills, let's get into Beverly Hills. We have 2 reunions. I think we have a third one on its way.
And Kathy's coming out for the third.
Which I don't understand any of it. I don't know why. She was not in the season. Refresh my memory.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. I'm like, was she in a single episode season? No, right?
So that's why I'm kind of confused by her. I'm also really confused of why it's 3 parts. There's nothing that happened the entire season. So I don't even, like, everything they're talking about is not interesting. And I hated all their looks. The only person I thought was, like, semi-decent was Erica.
I didn't mind Erica's. Yeah. Erica's was the only one that I vibed with at all. And, like, aged herself with her look, I felt like. She looked like old lady going to like a bat mitzvah or something is what she gave. Dorit was trying too hard. It's not an editorial issue, friend. It's the reunion.
All season, you wear nothing. And I respect the fact that Andy Cohen called her out. Me too.
I thought of you when he said that. I was like, Casey's playing this from the beginning. Yes,
I've noted it. I'm like, all these monograms, all these flashiness, and now all of a sudden you got nothing going on, and is it your budget? And she avoided the answer. Then she comes out in this outfit. And to me, I felt, okay, yeah, it's fashion, but
it was a try.
It just seemed like, are we being, like, not being aware of things again. What's happening here? What are you wearing?
To me, what the look read was people are probably tweeting them all the time and writing and commenting in their Instagram. So I'm sure she got plenty of fan criticism throughout the season about her looks and her lack of looks and her lack of fashion. And I feel like this was her attempt to like be like, oh, I'm still Dorit. You know, I'm still the fashion queen of the show. And it was
amazing. But it didn't even look like Dorit. Like I was just confused of what was going on there. And I just think it would look better on somebody else. My favorite thing was the yawn that Andy Cohen did. And it's three seasons now in a row. I died. And they flashback. She goes, when you better not.
The flashbacks, I was crying.
This is brilliant editing. Love this. And the brilliant fact that he's not even purposely doing it, like he's actually just doing it.
She just exhausts him. I've been saying for years that the editors of these Bravo shows deserve Emmys all the time because they go through the archives and I love it.
What did you think of Kyle and Dorit, like the friendship comment or the lack of friendship comment, like that awkward moment?
Honestly, I'm kind of on Dorit's side.
I am too. I was so shocked by Kyle and the manipulation Kyle was doing on her. And I felt like she downplayed it. And I felt like it was just trying to dig her. And it was kind of disgusting.
Yeah, I could not agree more.
The one thing I agree with Dorit on. Yeah.
I never agree with Dorit. And I kind of felt her here, especially when I think it was the first part of the reunion when she talks about how she went away with her and her friends. And she's like, you guys woke up and we're like, we're going to go for a little hike. But it was like a 10-mile hike. You have to prepare me for that. I'm not just ready to. And I related to her so much in that moment. If I woke up and someone's like, let's go for a little hike, I'd be thinking like, okay, we're going for a little like 2-mile hike.
Yep, me
if
too.
Suddenly it turned into 10 miles and you didn't warn me that it was 10 miles, yeah, I'd be fucking pissed.
Me too. I'm 100, and I like outdoors and I like doing this. Right. I would not be down with that either. I would have to. Because like, mental. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a big workout.
A lot. Kyle said, you know, when I go through these hard things, I isolate and mm-hmm. I push people away and I need to like get through it on my own. And Dorit said, well, you weren't alone. Right. That's the thing, is you were with people. Other people. I just wasn't one of them.
Right. And to piggyback off of that, Dorit was going through her own shit with her marriage that she's still dealing with. And has right. Kyle had any like, look, I get when you're going through your own thing, you literally cannot absorb anyone else's stuff. But in some level, you trauma bond over it because you're both going through like really intense things, right? With a long-term marriage.
That's
so
a good point.
So in some level, you feel like, okay, she can, of all people, she kind of gets what's going on here. And the thing that bothered me was Dorit kind of checked out, but still tried to be a friend. Whereas Kyle checked out as a friend because she just self-absorbed herself completely and expected everyone to fold into that. So maybe this past year, you and Dorit might not have been as close because of all this stuff. But you can't tell me that it's just a, when you're on camera, friendship. Like for all those years, like stop. I thought it was so insulting. And again, another manipulative dig to discredit the situation.
I saw on something on Instagram, people thought it was great when she made that comment of like, I've been here since my daughter was her second birthday and now she's going off to college and blah, blah, blah. I agreed with Sutton. Kyle was not, she said in the first episode, had a weird fucking lodge thing that she's been struggling a little bit in her marriage this year. That's all she said. She gave them nothing else. And I'm not saying that you have to. I'm not. But Kyle fully expects that from everyone else. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to sit here and make it seem like you bring so much to the show that this one season you wanted people to just back off a little, sorry. And again, like we said about these other women, you signed up for this. If you don't like it, don't do the fucking season.
And honestly, up till recently, it comes out that Mauricio promised Netflix the whole actual situation with him and Kyle and the family conversation. So that's why nothing was on Bravo, because it's all going on.
I didn't know that.
So if I was Bravo, I'd be pissed because here we are with a nothing season with nothing contributed. Nothing happened.
We probably won't hear shit about it really next weekend either in the reunion. So Now, again, I ask you, why is this a three-parter? We're going to sit through another, you know, hour of nonsense.
Nothing. Let's move to Garcelle, my queen. The thing that I respect the most about Garcelle, truly, is that she has an opinion and she's smart that she knows where she stands and she does not fold for anything that anyone says. Whether, even if there's confrontation, she says, that's you. And this is how I feel. And she holds it. She does not bend. Right. And I respect that so much.
She did make that like petty comment or that shady comment about Dorit's jewelry.
Yes, it might have been shady. Yeah. But like everybody was thinking it because everyone has questioned
everybody
the situation.
Was thinking it.
Including myself. Kyle, all her mom's shit is gone. She had to remake it
gone.
All. And then you see Dorit and she still has her stuff. So it's a valid call out that Garcelle had.
Yeah, it was a super valid point. I'm not gonna lie. I think, and I know they haven't been able to prove this, and I probably won't be able to actually either because I don't have the resources, but I truly think that PK set it up for insurance purposes.
I agree.
I really think that Dorit had nothing to do with it. I really do. The trauma, I believe that she's been like, her PTSD, all of that feels too real for me to think she had anything to do with it. So I get why she was maybe insulted by that comment, but I don't think the comment was meant in like a dig to her. I think Garcelle, like us, thinks that PK did this or that he had something to do with it.
It's just like their money situation has been I feel like since they've gone on the show, if I'm going to be honest. When you're on the show, all of your hidden secrets come pouring out.
Yep.
And again, we talked about it before, the Rose Bentley, all these random things that were purchased,
Bentley,
all these lavish
Beverly
lights,
Beach, all this shit.
She was trying to keep up with Lisa Vanderpump.
The Joneses,
and she was trying to keep up with Kyle, and she was trying to keep up with everyone. And when she first started, you could tell it's faux, but like she's still going through it, and she's getting through it. But then they want to sell the house, and they take the house off, and like the money's tight, and now her spending is low, and it's just like too many things are adding up to.
What does PK really do? What's doing in London so much?
Why? I don't get why he's in London that much. And not for nothing, but like even if he was to go tour Boy George, right? Like it's not going to be in these massive stadiums. Like why do you have to be there all the time?
He's not at his peak popularity.
Right.
So where's the money coming from?
And why are you spending so much time away from your family? It just, it's odd. The whole thing is just weird.
It's so weird.
And I feel for her on one hand, but I also feel for him because I don't agree with what she's doing with the kids and projecting off on them with the PTSD and holding them back and not wanting, like, I get why she might feel the way, but like, you gotta put up a front for the kids. You gotta get them into some normalcy.
Like, sad to watch for me, that stuff, because I feel for them. And other than that, they didn't really care for anything else. Honestly, Anna Marie, I hope she's not back next season. She bores the ever-loving shit out of me.
First off, her entitlement and her tone and her delivery to these girls, I'm like, this is your first season, and you crashed and burned. You should sit back. Like, where do you get off? Like,
she's behaving like it's her fifth season, and she's the fan favorite.
Right. Like, you're brand new. Stay quiet. The thing is, what I like about Crystal, she has a voice now, and she's talking on facts. Right. When she first entered in, she had her moments, but she grew, and she definitely has found a bit of her.
I agree.
She kind of gives me Jackie vibes of where she's at within the cast. One of my favorite things with Sutton is just her and her assistant, or shall I say, house manager.
House manager.
This
what
whole
else
relationship
did he call himself?
Is fabulous. I live for it. I want to see more of it. Like, I love their interaction. I want to see more of her personal life. I enjoy
their agree. She cracks
chemistry.
Me up. It gives, like, Lucy and Ethel her and her.
Or it gives house Marge. Manager. Marge and her assistant or house manager.
Yes. What is with these housewives not just having regular old assistants?
I love it.
This is my house manager. I can't. They are so crazy.
Yeah. Those are my opinions for the reunion.
I guess we'll find out what Kathy brings. So let's get a little younger and head over to our summer house VPR things. I figured we could chat about them together because honestly, Vanderpump isn't giving that much.
Okay,
they
totally
can't
agree.
Both have an amazing season.
I agree.
Because last season of Summer House was so boring and Vanderpump was amazing. And I feel like
I don't agree with
I'm
you.
I'm loving Vanderpump, Summer House.
I don't think Vanderpump was that amazing last season. I just think what made it amazing was the fact that we knew everything was happening in real time. The only reason why I enjoyed it is because I was able to be like, okay, this was the timeline. But I don't think Ariana was that great that season. I don't think she really gave that much that season.
No, but it wasn't about Ariana for me. I thought Katie was great. I was loving everything going on with Katie.
But for me, got Shanghai'd too. Like, her independence got overshadowed. And no one still to this day gives her the credit she deserves.
Right. If it wasn't for Scandoval, it would have been Katie's season. Last season, I was living for it.
Yeah,
girl gang
knew,
they have.
See, for me, we knew what was going on.
No, we didn't. We didn't know about Scandoval at that point. Scandoval came out March 1st or 2nd. The season started on February 8th. I'm more bored by this season, quite frankly.
I'm bored by this season, too. Again, I don't think Ariana should have come back. I think that she is way past it. I think that I know you do. I fully think that Lisa Vanderpump has chosen Sandoval and he is going to be the chosen one. And because Ariana does not want any of her life to revolve around Sandoval, which I agree because I have done this in a relationship too, where I've cut everybody out that was equal in a friendship with both sides. I've removed completely. I respect that Ariana's doing it, but that means that it's either Ariana or Sandoval, and Lisa Vanderpump has chosen Sandoval for the team to rally around. And Ariana is just not going to, she's not going to fold into it. She's not going to tape with them. And these bottom feeders need the situation right now. And it just seems like Sheena and Lala are the only ones that keep keeping the situation alive. They're holding Sandoval accountable, but they're jealous of Ariana for all the attention. They just need to get their own story so that they can have their own ride to fame. They have to get off of this wheel.
I fully agree with everything you said about Lala and Sheena. And it's crazy. I don't think that Lisa is going to try and get Ariana to rally around Sandoval at all.
No. That's not what I said. I said the entire cast.
I don't think she'll try with Katie. I think she purposely tried with Lala and Sheena. As we've seen in many of other shows, when the cast splits, the season sucks. I don't think that Sandoval is going to be like redeemed this season.
I think Lisa's trying to spin it to cushion it, but he is not doing himself justice. I think he is too self-involved and he is not.
So you think that they're still going to rally around him if he's behaving the way he's behaving now?
I already heard Lala starting to defend the situation and Sheena, and they're turning on Ariana because they're jealous of the fame.
Right. I think they're jealous of Ariana. At least in terms of the viewers' eyes, I don't think Sandoval's going to get any new fans this season.
Why did she tell Tom Schwartz to invite everyone so that everyone can get together in the house to try to start moving forward?
To promote her new fucking show. That's going to be the villain. This is all about Lisa's business.
I get it. But again, she's trying to put everybody in the same house. She's just trying. I'm telling you. Look.
Because she's a producer.
She's putting them
in the same house for all the drama.
But don't you see who's following in line because they need to and who is standing their own ground because they're doing their own thing? Like Katie and Ariana, they're in their own world. They're thriving. They're positive.
I think it has less to do for Sheena and Lala with it being about Tom Sandoval or Lisa's conversation with them about Tom Sandoval and more for them about not getting paid to list that trip. Not getting paid to be on that show, having less airtime because they weren't on those episodes while they're away. I think they say yes to those things and they rally around those things far more for the fact that they need this, like you said. I think it has far less to do with Tom, maybe, at least for Lala.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't really understand why they're holding the grudge as if he cheated on her.
I kind of get it with Sheena more because he was really nasty to Sheena. Remember that he said like really nasty shit to her. When they were on the phone.
What Sheena did to him after the fact.
After the fact, right. Restarted.
Again.
I think it's not the same thing. You've held grudges with people, we all have, right? When someone says something really disgusting to you, it is not easy to forgive them.
Now we're fast forward to the year. I don't agree with Sandoval on a lot of things, but I do think that in this instance, and he has not owned it, and he has not taken accountability for what he did. But he did do this. But they also equally did some pretty different, beastly things. And now it should be a squash because no one was dating them. It is what it is.
For me, this is not the same as Jack stealing sunglasses or Sheena being fucking Sheena who cries because she doesn't get enough attention. Or Lala and Randall, I don't think because they're shitty people, it means that he gets to be a shitty person too.
I feel like I sound like I'm defending him, and I'm not because I really think he's awful, and I don't see any accountability. I think everything he does is a skit because he's so aware of the camera and the storyline that every tear seems fake. Every scenario seems he literally gaslit Katie all last season. About accountability, and here he is. He's done it to Lala years ago, and she is sober and she's living a totally different life, and he is still throwing it back to whoever she used to be. He can't process it, can't click in. He's just always the victim.
Sheena's the permanent victim too. Yes, so, he did it to Lala. He's done it to literally every single person on the show.
And I don't know how Tom Schwartz is dealing with, like, I actually don't mind Tom Schwartz this season because he's kind of letting him fight his own fight for the most part. He is trying to give sound advice. But I like seeing Tom a little more on his own solo. Like,
me
it's
too.
Been refreshing his moments. But
yeah.
But with Sheena,
he's not as bad.
Sheena is just, I feel like, constantly a victim. Like, she is crying to the bone as if this was, like, her pain, and she could have her own pain about it. She is acting as if she's Ariana's pain, you know, and she's milking it for why can't I have the attention? Is get your own attention drama.
Sheena, you've been married twice and been divorced on the show.
Right.
What do you mean you've never had a season be about you?
She's like, even my wedding was about Katie. It wasn't about me. The Dancing with the Stars, like, that's something I want. Like, as if Ariana should apologize for that. It just seems so cringe. It just seems so wild. I'm tired of watching it.
They need to bring their storylines, different storylines, but I don't think they will. Because when you think about the time it was filmed over the summer and things were still pretty fresh then.
I think that Lala as an individual with her self-growth and her progress and, you know, her pregnancy, and she does seem like...
Yes,
you know,
which I called that.
Yeah, you totally called that.
That was amazing.
New Year's prediction.
That was my New Year's prediction.
But like, I feel like as a person outside of piggybacking on all this crap, I feel like she is thriving, whereas Sheena feels still stuck.
I just have to say about Ariana, why I think she is good, still should be on the show is because I truly care about what's happening in her life, even though she doesn't need it. I get your point. I don't agree with it, that the only reason to be on the show is because you need it. I think that she doesn't need the show, but I think I personally want to keep seeing her journey.
I want to see it too, but I think her and Katie could kind of progress.
I would love to get something about her. I would fucking love that.
I enjoy their story. I want to see them like single or like her in New York City and her Roxy. Like, I want to see them in, have the spotlight on them and enjoy that ride. I just don't, I feel like Vanderpump is kind of just like turned into a, like, I don't know. It just feels a little trashy in some forms, but I'm proud of James. I think James
always been
is
trashy.
I know, but I don't know. It feels like it's taking a turn even worse. I don't know, but I feel like James is so much, it's maturing. And I feel like Allie's so good for
I'm
him.
Proud of James. Yeah.
Even in his individual, not individual interview, but his interview with Lala and Sheena, he held his ground as a sound individual, being like, if I was Ariana, I wouldn't either. Like, and they
on the after show, he's great.
Yeah. And I'm loving
love him.
His story.
Love Allie.
Him, Katie, and Ariana, I would like
love
take
it.
Them and go.
I love his girlfriend.
She's really
good
for
Jade. And she's good for the show, I think.
And it's crazy because they dated so quick after the situation.
Yeah.
So you would
usually,
think,
yeah.
Right. But it's actually this is good.
And there's actual like substance there. What about Summer House? How are you feeling so far the first three episodes?
What do you think of the new guys?
Love them both. I think West is
Do you love them both?
Yeah, I think West is amazing.
He's fantastic.
I love West.
The other guy
I liked more after last week when we found out a bit more about his history.
That's
and I'm like,
oh,
okay, so that's why he's a little douchey. He's he's really going through with the you only live once.
But and it's
he's,
like creep status. It's a little, it like takes a little. Oh,
he's not my type at all. I think there for the first time in a long time, they got it right with the new additions.
I agree. Yeah, no, Wes to me, I'm like loving him. I love that Sierra is opening up too. We're seeing a different side of her.
Me too.
And it's playful. I'm enjoying them.
I'm enjoying them. I loved their little date.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, the Carl and Lindsay stuff. A friend of mine is like a family friend of hers is good friends with Lindsay. And she went on the bachelorette trip that never happened. Like they're close.
Okay.
And my friend got married recently. And when she saw the family friend's mother at the wedding, she was like, wait, what the hell? Lindsay and Carl? And the mother was like, wait till you watch the season. You'll be team Lindsay. And I got to say, I'm watching the season so far, and I am not team Lindsay.
I'm not going to lie to you. Out there. I don't know if I've ever been team Lindsay.
Lindsay's a psychopath.
Right. She's a psycho. She's full-on victim also, like 100% of the time. There's no accountability there. From the beginning, I always wanted to know Carl's side. And at this point, even though maybe he didn't break it off well, like mad respects that he stayed silent this whole time for this to be the air to share the other side, like respectful on it.
He hasn't said anything bad about her in the press. That's a good point.
And honestly, when I saw all of this stuff go down, because when you question someone's sobriety, especially someone that's intimate with you, especially when they're drunk and they're going to throw it in your face, I thought maybe this was the tipping of what went down. But then when he then apologized, which then she still kept antagonizing him, you're apologizing, but you have nothing to apologize for.
Maybe internally it was for him. You know what I mean? Maybe when he does eventually get there. No, you're right. But maybe when he does eventually get to his breaking point, it's like he starts remembering all these things. Has that ever happened to you? I feel like that's happened to me. Like suddenly you hit your breaking point. And you start seeing things clearly and you're like, wait,
all the little things are adding up.
Yes, they all start to add up. So I have a feeling that you're right in that this will be part of the breaking point. You know what I mean? It'll be something to remember.
But I did think from the trailer, when we watched this episode, I thought, okay, now we're going to like see some stuff. And then the apology happened and I'm like, okay, so this is not it yet. This is not what broke the camel's back. Kyle was the one like, hello, like this is not okay. And Carl's like, you know, I don't want to like put blame on her. And I'm like, what? Is he manipulated? Like, is he just brainwashed right now?
Is he just so in love that he's not seeing it? Like, I mean, you have to remember she has her bridal shower. Like, we're going to probably see her bridal shower this season. We're going to see probably a lot more moments like this where we're like, oh, this must be it. And it's not. He broke up with her over Labor Day or close to Labor Day. I feel like I remember hearing from her interviews initially when she was talking about it was that they were basically done filming the season like as a group, but they were still like filming Lindsay and Carl for some things because of the wedding. And that he said to her something like, you'll be home at this time, right? Because we're filming. And she was like, oh, yeah, I didn't know we were filming today. And that's when they break up. So I think we're going to see a lot of these like cringe moments all summer of where we're like, Sam.
Yeah, because you could see like even in their conversations or hanging out, there's not like a playful. It just seems like they're so tense. One thing I can relate to Lindsay on is, look, I haven't worked for a year, but I did work my whole career, right?
I have dated
people who have not been, you know, very engaged in their jobs. And it's a huge turnoff when you have somebody who like can't.
Especially when you're driven. And I feel like Lindsay's driven. That is something we've seen from her. She's very driven.
So I could see how that after a year of like, hey, like come the hell on. Like, are we moving forward? So I could see how maybe that could start to create some friction amongst maybe her strong personality and never taking accountability and being a victim and him being dragged into her drama all the time and her crazy.
And on top of all of that, they're planning a wedding, which is very stressful.
Right.
Remember like Amanda and Kyle, their season leading up to their wedding was like their worst ever. Like, I feel like it's a super stressful thing.
But like, we're not going to like each other leading up to it. She probably really was being
intense about. They definitely had sponsors and shit. Yeah.
about intense about like how was it really going to be portrayed. But then when I watched the after show, she was like, no, he pays half the rent. His name is on the lease, legally binded. He has to pay half the rent.
And so I'm he like, still does, because I haven't watched the after show
yes,
yet.
Yes, yes, he still does. He still
because I was wondering that.
And that's like, that's a big ass rent. That's a big,
that's a huge fucking bill. Rent.
And he lives on his own. Like, now he's back with Lover Boy with the non-alcoholic drinks.
Right, so now he's working at least.
Making income. Yeah. Look, maybe that's what he needed, is the breakup in order to push forward. Didn't we talk about that in the beginning of the episode? How sometimes,
right,
you, get,
sometimes
like,
you need
into a
right, like the universe kind of pushes you to make your change. That was tough to watch, to see her like drunk, acute, like drunk and putting down his sobriety.
And he sounded so normal. And then you know what also annoyed me too? Because she is so used to spinning things. If we didn't see her doing it and we only heard the story, people would literally be on her side about it, tearing Carl up and really questioning his sobriety. But the fact that we were able to see it, and she still went hard the next morning in bed. And then at breakfast, rallying these individual conversations with Danielle or whoever she's talking to about his tone was not that bad. She has brawled out, screaming, battled, fights. She kept spinning it as if he was so disgusting to her. And from what I saw, he really was not that
bad. Abby, I think it was, who said it best. Basically, she's feeling a lot of anxiety because she's literally not talking to any of the girls in the house but me. I think that then Carl not just being all over her, probably she took as like a slight, you know, was him not being there for her. And convinced herself maybe a little bit of a tone that wasn't there because she was already so hyped up.
It's so crazy because that slight turned her saying he's on cocaine. It's crazy that she would say that, is because Kyle said it the previous season and he was really embarrassed that he said it. And he made the comment and he like took it back and they went at him at the reunion.
At him. And then here she is on camera accusing her sober fiance of being on cocaine.
And Kyle actually had like the reality Carl's of back. It. Whereas, no, like it actually probably happened. You know, he went off the facts. Yes. And Lindsay's just like creating it just because she doesn't like his tone, like she has PTSD.
The only funny part of that whole situation for me was when Amanda was in her confessional and was like, wait, let me pull up my phone. I have to take notes because I forget.
Especially with Lindsay, you better come with the facts. She will deny.
I was cracking up. I love that. And maybe when I'm drinking, I should start writing things down.
Wait, so how are you feeling about Danielle? Because I feel like she's the Tom Schwartz Sandoval friendship with Lindsay and Danielle.
That's a
like
solid comparison.
It's very toxic. I think Danielle and Schwartz need to be on their own. They need to like thrive by themselves. Even though Danielle, I want to like her. I want to like be behind her. But she does do some things where you're like, girl.
I just can't always get there. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Like,
I wanted this to be her season, you know, like, because I really felt for
I wanted that for her. And now this, and now she's like roped back into it.
And apparently now in real life has gone like heavy Team Lindsay. And I don't believe she speaks to Carl at all. It's interesting because I get that when you have this friend who you love, and maybe there's this falling out. And especially if it's like has to do with a guy or a relationship. Danielle is probably feeling like she wants to just be there for her. Like she has her friend again. Right. But I do think she gets her judgment super clouded when it comes to Lindsay. She always has.
Yeah, she fights everyone else's battles. She needs to just like worry about herself. And I feel like she latches on. I think Lindsay does too.
The they're like codependency. It's tough to watch sometimes the two of them with their codependency. I was kind of happy that Lindsay stayed back at the house and didn't go to dinner with all of them.
Me too.
I thought that was a good move.
Like Carl and Amanda had their space.
I liked that.
Also, it gave a little break.
These shows, when they're on for as long as some of these shows have been on, like Southern Charm, Summer House, Vanderpump, they go through seasons where there's lulls, where they're just not getting the cast right. I think this might be a season where they got the cast right.
Yeah, because Southern Charm just came off a great season.
Great season.
Now we're in Summer House. Great season. Okay, so let's dive into one of the greatest shows that I have discovered this season, because I didn't know about it. I didn't watch season one, but I'm totally invested. Traitors. Let's like dive in, because what an epic season. What a great
epic
finale. Reunion was great. So let's get into what your thoughts are of the season and of the finale.
Season one was great, but this season two cast was a fire. I love that they brought in the challenge people.
Oh, God.
There were no challenge people on season one. I think that made a huge difference.
Agreed.
It just has all of my favorite things. The little challenges.
Oh,
it has housewife.
The mind manipulation.
The manipulation. The gossip. Mm. The people stuck in a house together.
Stabbing in this like weird in castle.
The betrayal. And then murder mystery on top of all of it. Amazing.
And on top of it, great fashion.
Great fashion. This season brought the fashion in particular, yeah. I will say. I can't get enough of it. I wish Johnny Bananas was on there a little bit longer.
Me too.
He was salty as fuck at the reunion.
Honestly, it probably could have won more money if Johnny stayed on. But I get what Dan said. Yeah, I get it.
Me too. Johnny's smart. He's won 7 challenge seasons for a reason. And if they would have kept him there, he would have had his own little Peter pals.
But I would have liked to see. I don't know if Peter would have taken off if Johnny was there the way he did.
I agree.
I thought Peter was fantastic. Mine changed as I was watching. Who did you want to win initially?
I, from day one, wanted it to be either Phaedra or CT. In an ideal world, they both would have won. But because of how the show was set up, I knew that that wouldn't happen because she was a traitor. Right from episode one, I'd be happy with either one.
Me too. So halfway through the season, did it shift?
Yes. I mean, Phaedra is just good fucking TV. I have never seen someone read another person the way she does. When they did that little reel almost of her just
when she read Dan, people down. That was honestly hands down. Whenever I watched Phaedra on The Housewives and she said she was a lawyer, I was like, all right, whatever. Like, you don't know like how good they are. You don't because you don't see them in action. Seeing her in that action and her lawyer hat was fully on, the props and mad respect. God bless.
She's so cutting and so calm.
And quick.
And it's admirable and terrifying at the same time. Also loved the little friendship that Phaedra and CT were having.
Oh, their little romance.
Their little flirtation. Yeah, it was like a bromance almost. Yeah.
It was cute. I have such a crush on CT. He's not my type, but I have such a crush on him. There's something about him.
I love him.
And his playfulness.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I just can't get enough of. So he was he was always in the mix for me, but I definitely opened up to the Peter clan.
I didn't want John to win, but he was another one who, by the time he left, I was like, damn, I really like John. He really brought something to the show.
Great, Ed. Right. I agree. I just really enjoyed it. He connected to the right people. And unfortunately, the bunch of the airheads,
I know.
Took them out.
I cracked up. So there are two things about the reunion and just the season in general. I was happy that it was Trishelle and CT together.
I thought that was great.
I was very surprised by her still being so untrusting of him up until she had to see his face like that. I'm curious. Did you feel bad for MJ or did you agree with John and all them who were saying you need to let this go a little bit, MJ? It's a game. Let it go. Cool. Or did you agree with how hurt she was?
I have two sides to this. First, if that was me, I would definitely be bitter. However, she should have known because she was outnumbered. And I knew right away anything to do with the challenge. I knew that they will not split the money 3. They're going to take it down to 2 and split it to maximize their dollars. That's what CT in his head was like. Okay, this is why I'm throwing it in. We're voting MG. Let's get her out, MJ out, so that we can capitalize the money.
I totally agree with you. What shocked me about it was Trishelle. I thought she was thinking the same way. The second I saw both of their things red, I was like, oh, okay, so they're going to cut MJ out and challenge it.
I was like, this stupid girl, you're about to win with your friend. You're literally, if MJ would have voted CT, literally CT would have been voted out. And that's insane to me. I can't believe that. I can't believe she had, I thought they set up from them the minute that they knew once Phaedra was out and they were like, Kate's it, we're voting
me
for Kate.
Me too.
And I was watching it. I'm like, CT, why are you voting for Sandra? And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, I get why he did it because she's a number. She gets out because now they know it's Kate and it's Kate and MJ. So Kate is going to get voted out and MJ will be outnumbered and then they win. So I knew where CT was at, where Trishelle was not there, even though I thought she was because she was so smart all season, connecting all the dots. So I'm like, girl, how did you not see this play? And it's unfortunate with MJ because when she won the Shield and she goes the next morning, I'm so proud of myself. I made this final. And then 2 seconds later, she goes, but I know that Kate is a faithful. And I'm like, oh, girl, you were so close to getting the credit you deserve. And then you said that. How embarrassing. Unfortunately, you tied yourself to a traitor because if you had another partner, you could have outnumbered CT and Trishelle.
MJ, how can you be this bad at this game and make it this far? She was wrong almost every round table.
And then she's like, oh my God, I can't believe I voted this person out. She was feeling guilty. Girl. They were like, based on the game players versus the non-game players of how to do things, the house owners are like, oh, kumbaya, let's share it. Meanwhile, the gamers are like, no, this is money. Money speaks, and we are going to get the amount of money we want. We have to split the pot, and this is a game, and you got to go.
I agree. It's interesting to see these different groups, types of reality stars. I think the challenge people will probably have targets on their back going in because They always do.
You can't teach that knowledge, and no one could do the challenges unless they're there. So they had this like a double-edged sword there, and it's that it gives them power.
Last week when Trishelle and CT fucking crushed it in that challenge 2 weeks ago, that was awesome.
Yeah. But how crazy is the finale that CT literally did the entire finale himself? As if he was on the challenge, he's doing the running back and forth. He's pulling all the extra money, literally solo. And he made all that money. Maybe that's where Trishelle was like, oh, he's really trying to rack up the money because he's a traitor. And she started to question things.
I see what you mean. But even from watching CT on the challenge, he's a competitor. He's left partners before and he's done things and he's, you know, made some moves that have like haven't loved.
Right,
like the big T. But when he says he's loyal to someone, he has always, honestly, I can't think of many challengers who really you can take at their word when they say, no, I'm with you in this to the end.
Yeah.
I loved at the reunion when Phaedra said that Peter could be a cult leader.
Oh my God, that was so good.
And she was not even trying to be insulting. She was like saying it as a compliment. Like,
and I took it as a compliment too. I'm not going to lie. And I'm like, you know what? He is. I agree.
He's good looking. He's endearing. He's charismatic. People follow him.
How smart she is.
And no, do you believe so that him and what's her name are not hooking up?
No, they are. Ek and Sue?
Right.
I love Island because you don't watch Love Island. She met this guy, Veed, or whatever they call him. And they were living together. They left the show together. And I guess they just broke up recently. And I think they are being playful. They are hanging out a bit. I think there's...
Okay. Yeah. She's a little psycho,
but like also she's funny. She gives me Britney vibes. Like if you watch the Love Island episode, like season that she was on, you'd be like, okay, this is her UK version. Since I didn't see season one, I didn't know how the structure of the show would be. So I was just like on the edge of my seat because they definitely love a dramatic pause. Like
the best host, like the best host, the way he just exudes drama.
Every tone, every fashion choice. Yep. I kind of love that Andy Cohen was the host for the reunion. Love that. That was awesome.
Seeing Zaddy there.
Nice little surprise there.
Good touch. If you're not watching Traitors, go watch both seasons. It'll be worth your time. Other than our shows, one big thing that I'd love to just point out is like, do you see our girl Linz making her appearances? She's out and about, Lindsay. Lohan.
Oh my God. Because I'm in Summer House. I'm like, wait.
Oh, sorry. No. Yeah. No, Lindsay Lohan out and about this week. And
oh my God.
She still looks weathered, but she looks good.
I think she looks gorgeous. I think her fashion's coming up to speed. Like, she looks beautiful. And I love that.
She's looked in a while.
Oh, 100%. Freaky Friday 2 is official.
I'm so excited about that. I loved Freaky Friday. She's looking good. I'm happy for Linz. I'm happy to see her out and about again. Welcome back. They do have a new season of Challenge All-Stars coming out, which is exciting.
Oh, I'm I'm so excited. It's going to be so good. It looks like quite a cast.
Quite a cast. Laurel and Nicole have been going at it on Twitter or on X.
Yeah, but the previous shows, they were like, weren't they making out on the show? So like.
Right. So I don't know what happens, but.
Laurel can turn ugly real quick. So quick. I would not want to be on her bad side.
Her ugly is ugly. Like when sharp. She gets there, it's like the lion's den.
What do you think of Tori and Cara Maria's tension?
Confused by it. I don't know like exactly where it came from because I didn't think they really gave a shit about each other that much.
There's that bitterness, I guess, with Cara Maria towards Tori. Like but a Tori's bit of like a resentment. Bring it. You know what Tori is.
Right.
You know, she bothers the crap out of me, but she has great hair. Annoys me.
She has fucking phenomenal hair, Tori.
Great hair. It's like, what the hell?
And she's such a weirdo, but I'm just so pumped for All Stars. Oh, Selena and her man are like full in. Using like, the L word.
I love yous. Yeah, they're.
Yeah.
It's an interesting duo, but she looks really happy. So God bless.
God bless. I'm happy for her. And it always amazes me when celebrities are able to pull off things so quietly. The fact that Chris Martin and Dakota Johnson, that they've been engaged for like years.
I didn't even know they were dating.
No one knew. Yeah. How did you do that? And then Natalie Portman and her husband just got divorced. Also very quietly. How did they manage to keep this private for so long, both of them?
Wait, so did you hear about Hailey? Is it Hailey Bieber's sister who, with the tampon that hit the bartender's face and left a bloody streak? Like
that's disgusting.
Why was that in your pocket? Like, why was that even on you?
It is so gross.
What's happening here?
Have we figured out yet why Stephen Baldwin was asking people to pray for Hailey and Justin?
No, but he did not look well in that image. Yeah, maybe what was that? Maybe it's a dated image. He looked unwell. I've heard that Justin's not doing well. It's not like a couple thing, but it's like a him thing.
On a totally separate note, not celebrity news, really niche and specific to Long Island. Have you seen or heard about these body parts that were found in Babylon?
No.
So the body parts of a man and a woman were found in this like park in Babylon. That's a town in Long Island, for those who don't know. They ended up arresting people involved in it, like a group of people. They're thinking it's gang related. And the people that they arrested live in Amityville and were let out on bail, which is kind of crazy. And I know that there's new bail reform laws, but you would think that they don't pertain to murderers. They have ankle bracelets on. And they can't leave Suffolk County, apparently.
That seems so weird.
Imagine you live on their block. How do you even? I would be terrified. I'm terrified. I would be like.
Because it's also a man and woman. It's not like a one target sex. What's that murder that was found by the bridge?
Oh, the Gilgo Beach killer? Oh, God, yes. His storage where he was killing them or like storing the bodies before he was dumping them was in Massapequa. And Massapequa and Amityville border each other. So what is in the water over there? I get fascinated by crime and all these things.
I have been in the crime world recently. Have you been watching some of the documentaries that have just come out?
I watched the American Nightmare one. That was awesome.
I watched the Octopus Murders. I didn't. Is it good? The Jim Mordecai one. Thing is with the Octopus murders and this one in particular, the ending is not, you're not going to get the ending that you think where you're going to like get to the solution. It's definitely open-ended, but it's wicked. It's wicked. The path they take down. Did you watch the Julia Roberts movie that came out like last year?
Oh, I did.
The world I did. Is ender.
I was going to say, it's like that weird, it starts with that weird, like, steamship, like, coming up on the beach.
Yes. I just watched it. And I heard that it was a book, and I want a second one. Why is there not a movie part two? I'm ready for the next phase.
I don't have a lot on my list right now. Of course, I'm watching Love is Blind. I know you don't watch that. This season was amazing. I am super jazzed for the reunion. Lots of drama going on in the Love is Blind world right now, and I'm living for it. I am sad to see Traitors go. Like, I know we're getting a season 3, but I'm a little bummed that I won't have it to look forward to next week.
I know. I feel like a lot of things wrapped up. And I mean, there's definitely things that are coming into the
coming,
mix.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a hefty week of trying to watch everything, yep. To be honest, because they overlapped.
And we have, I think, what'll be a good season of Summer House.
A great season, I think. Well, thanks for listening and hanging out with us as we catch up on our shows and share our passionate opinions. And we'd love to hear yours. So comment on our posts and DM us with any specifics, because we would love to even go further into detail. And hit the follow button. Tune into the next new episodes every Tuesday, streaming on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, socials on Instagram and TikTok. And see you next Tuesday.
Bye.